All right,
Okay.
welcome. If you lose connection at any time, reconnect by clicking the link in your email invite. Committee members, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Use the raise hand feature if you wish to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. Staff, please activate your video when you are speaking. Use the raise hand feature when you are asked a question. For members of the public, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon by the chair. Please do not use your video. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Lisa. At this time, could you do a roll call of commissioners, please?
Yes, Commissioner Claude Gilmore.
Present.
Gilmore present. Commissioner Dwayne Gray.
Present, Lisa.
Gray present. Commissioner Greg Reed. Reed present.
Present, yes.
Commissioner Madeline O'Connor.
Present.
O'Connor present. Aldertag Evers.
Zooming in from friendly Des Moines, Iowa.
Evers present. Commissioner Mary Strickland is excused absent, and Alder Isidore Knox Jr. I do not see Alder Knox. All right, Chair, a quorum is present.
Thank you. This time I'd like to have a motion and an approval of the minutes from our October 9th meeting.
I'll move approval.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded that our minutes from our October 9th meeting be approved, and we'll consider this a unanimous vote unless there are any objection. Hearing none, minutes are approved. Do we have any public comment?
The registrant report shows that there are no members of the public registered to speak tonight.
Okay, thank you. Are there any communications?
Nope, no communications.
Okay, are there any disclosures or recusals? Hearing none, we have three items on the consent agenda, and I'd like a motion and a second for approval.
I'll move approval.
Get a second.
Second.
Removed and seconded that the consent agenda items be approved. We'll consider this a unanimous vote unless there are any objection. Hearing none, motion is approved. We have a discussion item first up, the CDA resolution 4689.
Hello. So this is a resolution to increase the payment standards for the voucher program. I think you may recall we've talked about payment standards in the past. I think the board had to raise them or CDA raised them a couple of years ago. Every year, HUD comes out with new fair market rent estimates. These are supposed to measure the cost of rent for the bottom 40% of units in a market. And for the 2026 fair market rent estimates, they went up dramatically for the Madison area, between 11 and 15%, depending on the size of units. And so, because of that increase, HUD has sort of two main measures here. We have the fair market rent, and then the payment standards, which is like gives us the flexibility to set rent levels for the voucher program. Around the fair market rents. And so HUD dictates, has regulations that we have to stay, we can't have our payment standard below 90% of the fair market rents, which are already at 40% at the bottom of the market. And so with this new increase in fair market rents for Madison, we have to, by regulation, increase our payment standard. It's something that we would like to do anyways. But we sort of have to do it for 2026. And then the problem is we have this new fair market rent amount, but we don't know exactly how much money we're going to get from HUD next year. And so what we're trying to do with this resolution is increase the fair market rents to 100% or increase the payment standard to 100% of fair market rents to meet the HUD regulations. But then we would like to, at some point later in the year, come back to you all with another increase that would help us achieve more housing options here in Madison for voucher holders and better meet the market. But right now we're doing this one initial increase in order to just stay compliant with HUD regulations, more or less. If you want, I have a chart to sort of show how it's increased from the prior ones, but it's on average, it's around, again, this 11 to 15% across these different bedroom sizes.
Okay, that sounds helpful. Questions, comments from the commissioner? Someone have to let me know if they have somebody's hand is up.
I think Commissioner Gray had a question.
Go ahead, Commissioner Gray.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. So, Mr. Roper, I'm just wondering, will this kind of impact like 100% of the residents here, 90%, 60%, or?
So it will impact basically every voucher holder. There's a small fraction of voucher holders around of the 1,800-ish voucher holders in the city or that we support through CDA. There's a small fraction around 35 that are in zip code 53715 that have a separate higher payment standard already that has been set by CDA. This would impact everyone else. So the vast majority of voucher holders would be impacted, like 95% or something like that.
Okay. And from your training and expertise, do you see that with some of our residents, there may be some challenges with maybe being able to afford the rent? I mean, obviously, with all the other concerns that's taking place with Medicare and paying for food and things of that nature.
So this move here to adjust the payment standard is actually us providing more money for the residents, right? So what we're doing with this payment standard is saying, for example, like for a one bedroom, we were paying the fair market rent for 2025 was the citywide payment standard for 2025 was 1301, right? So that was like the maximum amount that we would provide for voucher assistance. Now we're raising that to 1462 for a one bedroom, right? So now those tenants that had one bedrooms, if they were right around that amount, right, we're providing a little bit more to help them cover rent, potentially move to a different unit or to cover more, a larger percentage of the rent. And so in some ways, this will help a lot of the residents if they were sort of we're paying more of their personal income in rent. CDA will be covering a little bit more because we're raising this payment standard and will allow new people who are issued a voucher more flexibility within the community to find a place because of this higher payment standard. So it will only help the residents. It will cost us money. And the downside, again, as I mentioned, is that we just don't know. Like we're sort of in the middle of a calendar year switch. And as you guys know, like we don't know what HUD is going to give us next year. We have no idea what Congress is going to provide for a full year appropriation. So we like in a perfect world, we would be able to know this amount and then have confidence moving forward that we would be able to afford these higher cost vouchers. We just don't know that, but we've done the estimates. We think we would be able to afford this higher payment standard. Again, it's a weird HUD regulation that we have to increase it without knowing the amount HUD is giving us. And so we feel comfortable with this amount though. And I think it should help every CDA resident with a voucher.
Oh, good. Appreciate your time and answering that question for me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the commissioners on this?
Commissioner Reed has his hand raised.
Go ahead, Commissioner Reed.
Chad, when we were preparing the agenda, you talked about how the county is going to do one thing at the timing might be a little bit different, and then also how this may be more zip code specific in which zip codes might be impacted. If you could maybe share that, that'd be helpful.
Okay. Yeah, if you want. I'd be happy to. I put a little presentation that maybe would help this a little. Like the for background, I'll share my screen. That'll help. Can you all see this? So again, this is the payment standards that we're looking at doing now, right? This is in coordination with the county, which has been CDA's practice in the past, is to stay aligned with the county. And so we're making this move now, again, because of the HUD regulations. We think that this will help tenants, but we would like to help tenants even more. And so later in the year, when we know how much money we have, we're proposing to come back to the board. I don't think you have to make any action about this now. We will come back and you can vote on it then. But we would probably not be aligned with the county at that point. Like, the county is moving with us to this 100%. So we will match the county. But there's two areas of concern we have with these payment standards. One is that they're still not high enough to reach the units that are funded through tax credits or by the Affordable Housing Fund. There's a, based on those, there's a certain income or the rent maximum that is sent at 60% of the area median income. And those amounts are calculated sort of separately from HUD's process. We do the math on those and it sort of leads us to slightly higher payment standards across the board, right? And so here's the math there. We don't have to dive into the details, but it basically would lead to higher payment standards if we wanted to make it so that anyone we issued a voucher to would be able to access any tax credit unit or affordable housing fund subsidied unit in the Madison area. These higher payment standards would allow that. Like, right now we know that there's sort of a mismatch, and oftentimes voucher holders could be turned back if they have zero income and they want to go to one of these tax credit units. And since the city is supporting those already, we thought it would be nice to have the voucher holders be able to use those automatically by having this higher payment standard. So we would like to increase the citywide payment standard again later in the year to access those units. And then additionally, we found that there's a big mismatch. I think this is something we sort of talked about a couple months ago, in that HUD gives us a blanket payment standard for the whole, or a fair market rent for the whole city, right? Which is supposed to measure everything in the whole city. But we know as residents here, right, that like the actual rent varies quite a bit by zip code. And we find in particular, there's zip codes along the isthmus where the downtown zip codes are higher rents on average, almost $200 more. And you can see that right here in this chart, 53715 and 52703 are both, if you go to this last column here, HUD's calculation for the small area fair market rent. So this is the zip code based fair market rent, is about $200 more than what the overall fair market rent is, right? And so we want to be able $200 to $300 more. So we can see with those higher rents, there's a lot less percentage of voucher holders in those units. So this chart here is comparing the number of dwelling units in those zip codes compared to the number of voucher holders in those zip codes, to just get a rough estimate of like how many voucher holders are able to live there. And what we see, probably not surprisingly, is that most of our voucher holders live in the absolute cheapest, or at least lowest rent zip code, right? And we want to try to use our flexibility in the program locally to give voucher holders more opportunity to move within the city and more flexibility of units. And so we think that potentially later in the year, we would be able to come back, or hope to come back, with a new payment standard that would really first do the increase that I mentioned, and then also create a zone for downtown units where they would get a slightly higher payment standard to allow more access to those units, hopefully allow voucher holders more opportunity, flexibility within the city to move, or opportunity to find housing within the city. And I think the market data sort of bores that out. And I think, I mean, we all know it would cost more in certain parts of the city to get the sort of the same unit just by the composition of the city. And so this is something we've sort of proposed to Dane County. They weren't as excited to take this on. And I think at later in the year, when we know our HUD funding and we know we could support sort of this more creative implementation of the program, I think we would come back to you all with a proposal to update our payment standards again.
I think that's very helpful that you're going to do that, because I think the adjustments would need to be made. But at least for this resolution, you're going to do that now, but you'll come back with more detail later will be helpful. Are there questions or comments from commissioners? Hearing none, is there a motion for approval?
I move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Well, there somebody had a question before we vote?
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I didn't get it up in time. Chad, going back to that last slide that you had, I'm wondering if it's possible, and pardon me if I'm not remembering things so well, but you often in these graphs, you're using acronyms that I think would benefit us if we kind of either had a key at the bottom or if you're really clear, like, I think I know what FMR stands for, but I don't know that I recall what SAFMR stands for. And it would be, and similar with a two-bedroom PS. Maybe just a suggestion, Chad, for the benefit of those of us with either, you know, or just forgetting these things that have been explained many times or whatever, is to have a little key somewhere in the bottom of your slide that shows what the acronyms stand for.
That's totally fair. It's a habit with these programs. I'm trying to get myself out of it, but I appreciate the feedback. I'll add that. For what it's worth, this SAFMR is the small area fair market rent. So like when HUD comes out with the metro fair market rents, the FMR, they also come out with small area FMRs that are the zip code based ones.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Commissioner.
2BRPS stands for two bedroom.
This is our two bedroom payment standard, right? So like this is just supposed to help compare. Like right now, we're the proposal, right, that you're all voting on is to raise the payment standard to $1,694 for a two bedroom, right? So as a point of comparison, the small area FMR that HUD projects says, well, you know, if you live in 53715, that should actually be $2,100 would be that the comparable rent amount for doing, again, the same logic, right? And so you see how, like, if we wanted to offer more opportunity in that area, it would make sense to add a little bit.
And just to reinforce what I said earlier, I may have been the only one who didn't know what those things mean, but I also know there's a tendency not to raise your hand and ask, is you're afraid to be embarrassed. Oh, I should know what that means, but I don't. So if you could just indulge those of us who perhaps have forgotten what these terms mean and spell it out either in each presentation or at a key at the bottom of the slide, that'd be helpful. Thank you, that's all.
Thank you. Any other comments from commissioners? And none, is there a motion for approval?
I'll move approval.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that CNA Resolution 4689 be approved, and we'll consider this a unanimous vote unless there are any objection. In nine, motion approved. Our next item is an update on our housing operations.
Great. More of me. We'll stick with the voucher theme first here. And so this is the same presentation. I'll try to make this as big as possible for you guys that you're familiar with. We have data now through September. The most important number here, I think, as we've mentioned, is this HAP utilization rate. So this is like of the money HUD is giving us, how much of it are we using? And we're right at 99% as of September. This is, again, what we did in August. I think this is our goal is to get, you know, we want to get right up to 100% HUD. For every dollar we spend, that will be dollar that's renewed in the next year's formula, right? So it helps us to get as much as possible to help as many people in Madison as we can. And so that we're at 99%, which I think is, you know, very, very good. You can also see below here, this is a trend that we've sort of referenced earlier in the year, is this increase in utilization for the project-based voucher program, these PPV rates. And we started the year at 64% occupancy. Now we're up near almost 80% occupancy. I think that sort of plays out in the higher utilization rate. And we're continuing to work to make sure all of our project-based units, these are units where the vouchers attached to the property, are occupied. Moving over to the public housing side. Here is the public housing data. One thing that I would point out is that we are, you'll see there are more vacant units in September. Many of these units are actually offline. So we sort of have two categories of vacant, right? Where some are vacant ready for occupancy, and then some are vacant and they were because of someone has moved out and we have to do rehab and renovations to the unit. Many of the units we have right now are actually offline, but we don't categorize them as offline because they haven't been approved by HUD for renovation yet. And that's because of the shutdown, like the HUD staff haven't been able to flip the switch in the system. And so many of these units are actually offline. There's only, of all of these units, there's only really a handful that would be available for occupancy right now. Most of them are all in some phase of rehab. And my understanding, talking to staff, is that there was also a number of deaths recently, sort of residents passed or moved on to nursing homes. And so that accounts for sort of the large uptick in sudden units that were vacant that are now in the rehab phase. Is there any questions about either of these updates?
It's helpful. It's like you're really close to your goal on your occupancy rate, correct?
Yes. I mean, we're still, I think, especially when we would count off the units offline, the number of vacant units in general is we could still, something we're still working on improving, but we are, when you discount the units that are offline for renovation, I think we're doing pretty good.
Okay. Understood. Questions or comments from commissioners? If there are none, I will ask for a motion for approval. Now, this is a report, right? We don't have to vote on this. Is that correct, Matt?
You do not have to take action on...
Yeah, that's what I remember. I appreciate that. Our next item before we go forward, we are going to shift into a closed session. And so Lisa is going to read you the instructions as to how we proceed. And Matt, you may have to instruct the people who will have to remain.
All right. So I do have a script to read. When the Community Development Authority considers the following items, it may go into closed session pursuant to Section 19.851E, Wisconsin Statutes, which reads in relevant part, a closed session may be held for any of the following purposes: deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specific public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session.
Okay, thank you. So at this time, are you going to instruct as to how we proceed?
I believe you need a motion and a second to go into closed session.
Yes, is there a motion to go into closed session?
Commissioner Gray, make a motion to go into a closed session at this time.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We are going to go into a closed session. Let us proceed.
Okay. The CDA board reconvened into open session. For item number one, the CDA board provided guidance to staff regarding negotiations for the former VIP Nails space at the Village on Park. And for item number two, the CDA board provided guidance to staff regarding the CDA lease with Luna's Market LLC at the Village on Park.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Matt, are there any other items received before we adjourn?
Nope, that is it.
In December, do we have anything particular relative to our meeting? I think the strategic planning session, that's what I was asking about. What do we agree on that? I thought we were going to, there was a date out. Did we set that up? I don't remember.
I believe we did. Hold on.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
The
special meeting?
The 19th of November.
What time?
4:30.
4:30, okay. Is that could just be an hour time frame?
It can be as long as you'd like it to be. but we can shoot for an hour and it will be hybrid.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've got a commitment at 6. I gotta try to make that, but that's okay. We should be at that to give us sufficient time to do what we need to do. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. This time, I appreciate everybody's participation. I'll ask for a motion for adjournment.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
We moved and seconded that we are in adjournment. Thank you all. Have a wonderful evening.